Good evening, good evening, good evening. Good evening. My mint was not done again. Are y'all coming in here? Okay. Can you close the door on the way out? How's everybody doing this evening? Doing good, I hope. And, thank you very much. Well, good to see everybody. Hope everybody's been having a good week this week, and things are looking different in the sanctuary, and so we appreciate your support and all that moving forward and upgrading some things around here. I'm positive you're going to like the finished product, but anyway, it is good to be here this evening. Good to see each and every one of you. We're going to Brother Jeff and Sister Sharon, as you know, are out of town, and I texted Miss Sharon yesterday to see if they made it to New Jersey safely, and they did. Then they're going to end up on a boat somewhere in Canada, and so that's a little ways from home, Brother Ceylon. But hope they have a great time and enjoy themselves. And so, saying that, we're going to try to lead a song tonight, but I need everybody's participation when we get to that part of the service. Okay, y'all don't leave me out here on a limb to dry up. And we had a little mini song rehearsal just a moment ago before y'all got here, so me and a few others. But it'll be good. It'll be good. Let me mention some people tonight, then we'll open up the floor if you have a prayer request or a praise or update. I talked with Miss Pat Eccles the other day, and she's getting better. I'm not sure if she really, I don't think she broke anything, but she did have a fall. I don't know. She was laughing about it on the phone. She has the best attitude when it comes to difficulties and accidents and all. But Miss Pat and Johnny Eccles, let's remember them. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. I know we had a little bit of problems on Sunday morning when Brother Snyder was preaching. Let's continue to remember Miss Emily McCrickard and the passing of Arnold. And, of course, if you feel led to send a card or a call or something like that, that'll be great. And let's see, is the address in the bulletin?
Justin.
Yes.
I went there yesterday morning and took a group.
Yes, it's in the bulletin.
And she was very appreciative.
Thank you,
church.
Awesome.
She's doing very well.
Good,
I
good.
I talked to her
for about an hour on the carpool. Yeah, good, good. Appreciate that. Thank you for that report. Yeah, that address is in the bulletin. Miss Emily McCrickard. Also, I have Emily Carden and Jamie Carden's addresses. Thank you, Miss Leela, for that. So if you'd like to send them a card, come see me. I'll give you the address. We're going to update the bulletin and have it in there, those addresses, on Sunday. And so that will be available for you. And so remember that. Remember Vicky and Frank, they're home tonight, sick, getting better. And so the Lord willing, they'll be here on Sunday morning. And so we're praying for them. And continue to pray for, we mentioned Emily Carden. She had surgery the other week. So she doing okay, Miss Chrissy?
She got her staples
in her dream. Wow, okay, good, good. We're glad she's on the mend. Continue to remember my grandfather. I have not checked in with him this week. I've been busy with other things, but just remember him. I'll give you an update on Sunday concerning him. But remember our children's home, Brother Alan Clayton as well, as he continues to recover. Miss Cheryl Millwood, she is continuing to get better. Hopefully we'll have that stone removed soon. And so just remember her in your prayers. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, they just celebrated an anniversary the other day. And I believe it was yesterday was their anniversary. And so appreciate, praise the Lord for that long marriage, and appreciate them. Continue to remember them and their health. Miss Becky Hooper and Brother Billy, Miss Becky's health as she's trying to get some help for her health, her hip and different things like that's going on or giving her problems. So remember them in prayer if you would. James and Shirley Townsend, Miss Shirley had a fall, but she's doing better. And so that's where they were at Sunday morning. They were at home resting. She had that fall, but she's doing better. Don and Carla Rich, let's remember them over in Peru. and Miss Carla's brother as well. I remember him. Miss Connie Norton at home getting better. Diane Ely, upcoming back surgery, back treatments. Miss Claudia, Brother Harold, let's remember him. Jim Jr. Daly and his upcoming surgery on his foot. Whenever that is, he'll let me know and I'll let you know. The Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, which are shut-ins. Joyce Manning, which is a shut-in. And James Tolan Brown over in the Marines. And Jamie Carden in the Air Force. And Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. Okay. Anybody have anything they want to mention? Anything else?
Don and Carla, remember their international conference starts tonight.
Starts tonight. That's tonight. Okay. Okay. All my days are running together. Thank you for sharing that. Conference tonight through Sunday. Anybody else? Son? I sure will, buddy. Sure will. Anybody else? Here's it. Okay. What's their last name?
O'Neill.
I knew that. See, I had to have. Next time I'm going to say, what's the first letter of their last name? That way I can try to jog my memory. So he goes to, okay, Dr. Tomorrow. You know, like on computers and all this, you get these little memory cards. And I wish, somehow we can upgrade our minds to getting more memory. Sometimes it gets full, doesn't it? Well, let's remember him. Anybody else? All right. Well, did you enjoy homecoming?
Yeah.
Good, good. Had a good time. Appreciate Brother Snyder and Brother Dakota and the choir, Brother Allen, for crawling up there in the choir loft and leading the choir. And so appreciate him and Miss Terry. Appreciate Adam Hooper, who came and helped on the instruments Sunday morning, and that was a blessing to have him. That was the first time I ever met him, and so praise the Lord for that. And so let's remember this coming up Lord's Day, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We'll be back at it again, and just pray for the Lord to do some amazing things. And each and every service has a purpose to it, and so just help me pray which direction to go in on our services this coming up Sunday. I will say we're going to take this month off from outreach. Brother Jeff and Sharon, they're out of town, and we've got something this weekend. We've got something next weekend, and so and then that's the end of the month. But no worries. We're going to be pounding pavement again next month. I believe it's the first month we haven't had any formal outreach. This will be the first month. So, but that's okay. Just remember that. We'll have a good outreach for next month. And so just remember those things. I feel like I'm leaving something out, but we will catch up soon if I can remember. Anybody else? All right. Okay. Well, let's pray and have a time of prayer together. And this is Wednesday night prayer meeting. So we're going to sing with your help, Sweet Hour of Prayer, the first and the last, after we pray, okay? All right, all that. y'all help me sing. Now, if I mess up, if I make a big scramble out of it, let's just all laugh together and we'll close the book and start preaching. How about that? All right. All right, sweet hour of prayer. Here we go on the first. Y'all ready? Okay. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Not too bad, huh? All right, let's do the third, okay? Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share. Okay, keep going. My home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Awesome. Thank you. A little stumble. Y'all stayed with it and helped me out. I appreciate it. Takes teamwork to make the dream work, doesn't it? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I love that song. When I first got saved, I heard it the very first time over at Floyd Road. And I believe it was on a Wednesday night. And I don't know the words to it, the melody. It just really defines that sweet hour of prayer, that time of prayer with the Lord. You know, if we truly get hooked up to Him, if we truly find a place mentally to just let go for a few moments and really seize what we have. I mean, we have a place to go to pray. We have a throne room of grace. If we really understand that, I'm preaching to the choir tonight, and just release everything mentally and just lock in and pray. I mean, it can do so much for us. And I just appreciate from the Lord that we have a connection with Him in prayer. What a blessing. All right. Let's go to Psalm 112 tonight. Psalm 112, follow along on your Bible, on the screen. However you would like, whatever way you learn best. We like to throw the options out there to you. Psalm 112, and tonight our main verse is going to be verse number 1, but we will cover verse number 1 down through verse number 7. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read Psalm 112, verse number 1. Father, we love You. We thank You. Lord, it's been a sweet hour so far. The 7 o'clock hour of prayer on Wednesday nights tonight, it's been sweet so far. We have congregated ourselves together. We are unplugging from the world, God, and we're trying to plug in to You through prayer and the teaching of Your Word. Lord, let there be a connection tonight. God, help us to dismiss everything from our minds and hearts and focus solely upon You and the truth of Your Word just for this 1 hour tonight, for the time that's left over. And I pray, oh God, that we would be encouraged, challenged, changed, and receive direction from Your Word tonight. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Psalm 112 and verse number 1. The psalmist says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." That's our main verse tonight. That's our starting verse. That's our text verse. I want to call your attention to that verse, of that phrase that follows, "Praise ye the Lord." It says, "Blessed is the man." Tonight, I'd like to speak just for a few moments on this subject, a checklist for a happy life. Tried to be simple tonight, tried to be practical. I felt led to do so, and I hope someone is encouraged and blessed off of the lesson tonight. But a checklist for a happy life. Do you have a happy life tonight? Are you experiencing happiness? That's the question. Now, in this chapter, there's implication that the writer is actually talking about a man, all right, in gender here, because if you look at some of these verses, like verse number 2 talks about his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Or mighty upon earth. But in principle, it can be applied to all. It can be applied to a man, to a woman, boy, child, a boy, girl, a child, young person. In principle, it can be applied to all. Not just men, but to all. And so there's a checklist found in this chapter, and if this checklist is followed, we will experience true happiness in our lives, which is only found in Jesus. Now, notice the word, if you would, blessed. In verse 1, he says, "Praise ye the Lord." Then he says, "Blessed," or "blessed is the man." That word, blessed, it literally means happiness, or it means happy. There is a happiness, and you know this as well as I do, that comes from the world. And that kind of happiness is based upon happenings. You've heard that your whole life. I have too. But there's also a happiness from the Lord. And that's not based upon happenings, but it's based upon a permanence. The happiness that comes from the Lord is permanent, while the happiness from the world is temporary, or is based upon happenings. And so the world tonight requires things to happen in order for you and I to be happy. Finances have to be right in order for us to be happy. According to the world system, money has to be good. Health has to be good. No family problems. Friends have to be there. There has to be fun taking place according to the world system in order for there to be happiness. But when it comes to the Lord and the economy of God, how is it different? How is it that there's a permanence to happiness when it comes to the Lord in contrast to a temporary happenings or a temporary happiness when it comes to the world? So that's what I want to look at tonight from a biblical perspective, from the things of God. How is it better? And so there's a checklist tonight, a checklist for a happy life. Number one, in verse number one, the first thing found on this checklist for a happy life is an offering given. There will be an offering given to the Lord. Notice again, verse number one, he says, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man," or "happy is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." And so we have the word "feareth" here. He says, Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. The word feareth here means reverence, or it means to be in awe. And so this happy man, this blessed man, is given a offering of reverence to the Lord each and every day. The happy person, the happy man, the happy woman, the happy boy, the happy girl is the person who is giving an offering of reverence to the Lord each and every day. This person will be blessed. This person will be happy. So we see, he says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And then he says, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That word delighteth means to desire. Kind of sounds familiar to Psalm 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When our delight is in the Lord, when the Lord is the object of our rejoicing, when He is our source and He is our confidence, then we will be a blessed person, or we will be a happy person. But this has to do with an offering that is given. And he says again, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Another word for delighteth there, it's through the idea of bending or taking action. And so the idea literally is this, is that the person that is truly happy, the person that truly has joy in their life, no matter the circumstances, is the person that is fearing the Lord, who reverences the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments, who obeys the Lord, who trusts the Lord. That's the first thing on the checklist tonight. If we are going to have a happy life, and if we are going to enjoy life, there must be an offering given, an offering of reverence, an offering of delight, an offering of obedience. Now, again, I said the word feareth here. It means reverence, but it also means to be in awe. Does anybody know what the word awe is short for? Awesome. Awesome. And so, literally, he's saying the person that is happy, that is truly filled with joy, is a person who recognizes the awesomeness of God. He's awesome tonight. God is because of who He is. Who is God? He is loving. He is merciful. He is kind. He is patient. But not only He's awesome because who He is, but He's awesome because of what He does. What does He do? He saves. But then He saves to the uttermost. Once you're saved, you're always saved. He saves. He sustains when we're saved. His grace is sufficient. He empowers. And so He's awesome because of what He does. He's awesome because of who He is. And so the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man, that feareth the Lord, or who is in awe of the Lord. And so tonight, the happy man, the happy woman, is one who thinks God is awesome, who recognizes God as awesome. The happy man, the happy woman, is the one who wakes up every day and gives an offering of reverence. Lord, You are loving. You are merciful. You are kind. You are patient. Lord, I just reverence You because of who You are. The happy man, the happy woman, is the one that wakes up every morning and recognizes how awesome God is for what He does. Lord, You saved me. You save others. You're in the saving business. You sustain. You empower. And so with all of those things, if they were to run through our minds daily, we would be a happy person. He says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. And so the blessed person, the happy person, is one who gives an offering of reverence, an offering of delighting greatly in His commandments. And so when we spend our time dwelling on who God is and what God does, it has a way of producing real happiness that no man, no person, no thing, no object, no circumstance can take away from us. And this is the joy of the Lord. Remember when Paul said that? He said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. See, Paul in Philippians was turning our attention to the object of our rejoicing. Why does he do that? Because Jesus is always the same. He was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He cannot change. He won't change. He cannot lie. He is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And so Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Circumstances are always changing. Things can be great tomorrow. They can be devastating in the morning. And so what do we do when times like that happen? What do we do when times are good? How should we maintain? What kind of attitude? We should maintain an attitude of reverence to the Lord. We ought to be in awe of Him. We ought to delight in Him. He's the one that doesn't change. He's the one that's the same. And because of all of that, let us give Him an offering. Paul puts it this way, Romans 12 says, in verse number 1, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And it goes on in verse number 2, talks about not being conformed to this world. And so a daily offering. Paul says, I die daily. So tonight, when we're looking at the subject of happiness and we're looking at this checklist, we know that the world has a kind of temporary happiness, but the Lord has a permanent kind of happiness. And it has everything to do with an offering given to Him. Where's our offering going tonight? Where is our attention and our devotion going on a daily basis? Are we giving our attention and our devotion to what's going on in the world, in allowing that to dictate our inward peace? Now, I know we're in election season, and it's all over the TV, and Trump, they tried to assassinate him again the other day, and we got Kamala Harris, and she says on there, on the TV, a commercial, she says, I don't ask if you're a Democrat or Republican. I ask if you're okay. Did y'all hear that? That was pretty witty. I will have to say, that is pretty witty. And if we're not careful, we can get focused on that. Well, oh, Lord, I hope Kamala don't get in office. I hope Trump does. You know, and all we'll be just consumed with politics. And we'll be dependent upon on politics and who's in the White House. Are we giving our attention to politics totally? Are we giving our attention to what's going to happen tomorrow and worry and fret and fear? We all struggle with this from time to time. If we didn't, it wouldn't be in the Bible. So what should we do? What's on this checklist? Well, the first thing, again, is an offering that's given. Praise ye the Lord. You want to know how we can praise the Lord no matter what's going on in our world, no matter where we're at in the political realm? We can praise the Lord. We can be a blessed person because we fear the Lord and delight greatly in His commandments. Amen. And so we see an offering given. But I want to mention a second thing on this checklist. Not only an offering given, but the second thing on the checklist for a happy life is an offspring possessed. Not possessed with demons, okay? But having an offspring, having children who are blessed. That's one way for you and I to be happy now, is to know our children are following the Lord. Look at verse number 2. His seed, we're looking at it, his seed, her seed, shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Back in verse number 2, we see he talks about his seed. What is he talking about? He's talking about that this blessed person will have a seed that is blessed. How is a person's seed blessed? Well, a person's seed is blessed by that main person being blessed. And that main person is blessed by reverencing the Lord and delighting greatly in His commandments. So one generation follows the Lord, and the way it's supposed to work is the next generation will follow the Lord, and then the next generation will follow the Lord. But what happens when there's a generation that doesn't follow the Lord? Huh? The chain is broken. There's a link that's broken. And so he says here, he says this blessed man, this blessed, this happy person is one where there's a full length in your family chain. It is not broken. What does the song say? If the, what is it? The circle is unbroken, or the circle is unbroken, the circle is broken. I don't know. Lord, don't let the circle be broken. You know what I'm saying? Let us all stay connected to the Lord. I can remember listening not long ago. It's one of the sister that survived on the Nealands. Brother Randy, you might know this song. You may have heard it. Some of you may have. But she stood up. She sang it once before, but she stood up, I believe, at the funeral and sang maybe the circle is now unbroken, or the circle is now broken. I believe it is, something like that. You know, her family died in the plane crash and is in heaven. And certainly things like that happen, but let us serve the Lord, and when we do that, the way it's supposed to go is the next generation will serve the Lord, and the next generation, the circle will be unbroken until someone goes home to be with the Lord. All right? And so we see his seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. So basically we see that the divine blessing, divine happiness shall rest upon the blessed person's seed or family. This divine blessing, this divine happiness. And I already went through that with you of how that's achieved. So it goes like this again. Dad and mom serve the Lord and taught the kids the same. The kids grow up and teach their kids the same to fear the Lord. And that's how it happens. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. You remember the commercials? I don't know if I've seen one in a while of Bush's Baked Beans. Bush's Bean Company. There was a commercial one time when they were, shh, it's a secret. It's a secret. Secret recipe. And there was a man on the window cleaning the windows of the factory, and he was looking in trying to get what the recipe was. And they were talking about how it's a secret, and it won't get out. It's a family secret to Bush's Beans. And certainly down through the generations, Bush's Beans is still on the shelf. I like Bush's Beans. I like Bush's Baked Beans. You like Bush's Beans? Okay. And so there was a family secret, a family secret recipe. What is the family secret in the day and time in which we live? What is the recipe? The recipe is Jesus. That's how one generation is blessed down to the next. That's how it stays in the family, is Jesus being in the family. So he says, his seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. But then verse number 3, I was looking at this today and I said, Lord, there's got to be more than this, because it's almost like wealth and riches are promised, Brother Ceylon. And we know that's not true. Verse 3 says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. What is he talking about, wealth and riches. Well, when a household is raised right, when a household is taught right the things of God, it trickles down, I believe, even into stewardship of resources and finances. And while the Bible is not ensuring us here that we will have wealth and riches, the Bible is ensuring us that if we follow the Lord like we've been taught, if we be good stewards of our money, if we tithe and if we give, we will. This is a type of wealth and riches that will abound. Think about the worldly man and the worldly family. They're chasing after wealth. They're chasing after riches. And they're working from can to can, then some, trying to get riches. Like someone said one time, we work our whole life to gain wealth, and then we spend our wealth trying to regain our health. It's a cat chasing its tail. And so there has to be some understanding here. There has to be a direction for us. So what is it? Well, what it is that when we are raised right and we teach our kids right, then they will be good stewards and the blessing of God will rest upon their family and they will always have what they need. But it's because of the sufficiency of the Lord they'll always have what they need, but their stewardship practices has a lot to do with it. And so we see the second thing on this checklist has to do with an offspring possessed. Mom and dad have kids who are following the Lord, and they're blessed in their deeds. They're blessed. They're mighty upon the earth. They're blessed. Verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in their house. Not that they'll be millionaires or have plenty of money, but that they'll have enough. They have learned about stewardship. They have learned how to be crafty. They have learned how to do things frugally. But then he says, and his righteousness endureth forever. Again, age to age, generation to generation, things being taught is what the writer is getting at here. This is a promise which makes a person happy or blessed. This can also be a reality which makes a person happy or blessed, and that is to have our seed blessed. It's a promise, and it can be a reality. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. And so we have an offspring possessed here. Let me say this. I wasn't raised in church my life. There was a link in the chain that was broken in the family. There was a disconnect. I found out a few years ago, actually more than a few years ago, that my grandmother's grandfather was a preacher. He actually died preaching in the pulpit. Her dad got saved, and he went to the Roloff farm, or the Roloff camp, Lester Roloff over there in Texas. He got saved and went to the men's camp, and he actually had a heart attack and died there, but he was saved. On my great aunt Jackie, her son's a preacher, a pastor. So there's been some in the family, there's been some righteousness in the family, but there was just a broken link in the middle of it. And so when it comes to me and Christy and Lily, Lily is now getting a foundation that I never had laid in her life that will better her chances of not experiencing what I did, and at the very least, she will know better. And so when the writer talks about his seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about mom and dad living right and teaching the children and then grandchildren, great-grandchildren. He says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever from age to age. So tonight we're talking about a happy life. One thing on the checklist is an offspring possessed. And that is an offspring that follows the Lord, an offspring that is blessed. What better reward is it to parents to see and hear that our children are walking in truth. Isn't that what John says in one of the epistles? That my children are walking in truth, and it brings great joy. What better reward or blessing whenever I see Lily singing in church or singing in chapel? I watch on Wednesdays when I'm not preaching down there, and she's singing and she's delighting. She asked me on Saturday nights, "Dad, can I sing in church on Sunday?" And you know, she is now quoting Bible verses here and there. She's using the Bible for what a blessing that is. There is a foundation being laid. And so the day comes where, you know, we launch her out to the world, we let her go, then she'll have this foundation. It doesn't assure that there'll be no problems, but it does assure there's a foundation there that will catch her if she falls. One generation to the next shall be blessed. And so an offspring possessed that serves God makes a man blessed. And if we have children that are not going after God, let us keep on going after God and praying for them that they will go after God one day. So an offspring possessed. But then there's a third thing tonight. There's a third thing. And that is the third thing on this checklist for a happy life is an outlook established. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4. An outlook established. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. We have an outlook here that's been established. The writer here says that he is sensible to darkness. The happy person is one who is sensible to darkness. Notice again what he says. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is sensible to darkness. He understands darkness. He understands, she understands darkness, understands different things that pertain unto darkness. Because of their relationship with Christ, they're sensible to darkness. He or she knows what to stay out of. He talks about there is a light that riseth out of darkness. This is the blessed person. They know what to stay out of. They know to stay out of the dark. They know to stay away from sin and things that lead to sin. But not only that, but they know to shine. The Bible says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. We are called to shine. Not hide our candles under a bushel, but we're living in a dark world. And so, therefore, we are called to shine. And a sensible person knows that. One who is sensible to darkness, they know they need to stay out of darkness and wickedness. But also, while living in a world of darkness, they're sensible enough to know that they're to shine. And that's truly a happy person in life. A happy Christian is one who is sensible to darkness. They know what to stay out of. They know to shine, but they also know how to stay encouraged. They never lose hope. Is this person who has long-lasting happiness and joy, they never lose hope. They know that the Lord is always on time. He's like a light that comes forth from darkness. You ever been in a dark room before? Totally pitch black dark. And you're making your way. I think about my garage. See, sometimes I get in a predicament in my garage, okay? I got a lot going on in there. I got my prayer chair in there. I got my landscaping stuff in there. And so there's times where, and my garage door opener don't work. I got to get it fixed. It's been down for about 3 years now, okay? It's on the list. It's just at the bottom. And so there's times where I have to close the door and I'm in there. And the light switch is all the way over here on the wall that leads into the house. And so either I close it and run real fast, But I'm taking a chance on falling. Or I remember to turn the light switch on, then close the door, then I can get out with lights on. Well, I mean, it's dark. It's dark. I have this little red light. It's a pad on my wall where you're supposed to touch it and the garage goes up and down. Well, it stays red, which means fix me, fix me. But I've used that as a guiding light sometimes when I'm in there and I forget to turn the light on. I close the door, it's got through cutting grass. I look at that light and I'll just, I have to stay like right in the middle of that light. And I just walk just like this. And as long as I do that, I'll make it to the door. Because I know there's a path there. Over here in the middle of the garage, there's some boxes stacked up. On my right, there's the prayer chair. There's the other stuff stacked up on the sides of the wall. So if I just stay right here in the line, walk toward that light, I'll make it. Jesus is that light. He has a way of bringing hope to us in darkness. And this happy person, this person that has lasting happiness and joy in their life, is one who has the right kind of outlook. They're sensible to darkness. Listen, if you are going through a dark time tonight, guess what? Jesus has showed you enough light in your lifetime where you know you're going to come out. Some way, somehow, He will crack open a door and let a little light shine in. Has He ever done that to you before? During your times of darkness, during your times of defeat and discouragement, when you think all hope is gone, but yet, here's a sound effect. A door opens and a light shines in. You remember when Peter was in prison and he was in between a bunch of guards and an angel of the Lord came in? You remember that? And smote him on his side. And the Bible talks about there was a light. There was a light that came in. Something happened in the darkness. Very familiar account there. And Peter escaped. That's just like the Lord. In our dark places, it may get real dark at times. It may seem like all doors are locked and we're in stocks and chains. But the Lord has a way of letting a little light in. And praise the Lord. As long as we have a little light, that's all that matters. If Brother Randy were to turn the sanctuary lights out right now, it'd be fine. We'll just have church in the dark. But the foyer light's on. But if he turns that foyer light off, we're in trouble. We're going to be bumping around here like a ping pong game. Okay? But the foyer light will be on. And I like all the lights to be on. But there's just times when God allows the lights to go out. But yet He'll shine a light at the right time where we need it the most and when we need it the most. And so the writer here says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Listen to this. Not only he's sensible to darkness, but he's sensible to his character. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Talking about this happy person, this blessed person. We're on a checklist tonight. It's an outlook established. He is sensible to his character. He is a gracious person. You want to be happy? Be gracious. Be gracious to forgive if you want to be happy. Be gracious to give if you want to be happy. God loveth what? A cheerful giver. What does the Bible also say? He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. And that has to do with joy and happiness as well. So bountifully tonight. So bountifully. Give. Be gracious. He says here, he is gracious, but then and full of compassion. He is a compassionate person that is truly happy. He or she will look upon a person and say, you know what, they just might be going through something tough. They'll look upon a person and say, well, they fell and they stumbled and they blew it, but you know what, that could have been me. The happy person, the person that is blessed, is one whose outlook is established. He's sensible to his character. He's gracious. He's compassionate. But he's righteous. He's righteous. He says, and righteous. Righteousness, righteous acts produces righteousness practically. And when we're doing right, we're happy. When we're doing wrong, we're not happy, are we? If we can live without chastisement, the Bible says we're bastards and not sons. That's what the Bible says. And so we ought to feel bad when we do wrong. It's typical of the Christian child. And so he's sensible to his character. Look in verse number 5. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. And so he is sensible to his character in the sense, again, that he shows favor. He shows favor. He gives. He's kind. He lendeth. Hey, friend, you're having a hard time. You need some work done at your house. You need some help. I'll help you. You see somebody struggling and it looks like they're in need and you have the ability to help as you have the opportunity, do so. It'll make you a happy person. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion or exactness. Will not make hasty decisions, but will guide the decisions. One way to be an unhappy person is making a hasty decision, isn't that right, Ceylon? Making an emotional decision. Woo, man, this ought to be it. This is it. I know it is. It's God's will, even if I prayed about it or not. It just has to be God's will. You make the decision, you do it, and it falls apart, and it's miserable. Let us act before we make a decision. Let us think before we make a decision. And it could be God's will. But we will guide our affairs with discretion. That's what we need in our homes, in our churches, is decisions that are guided, affairs that are guided by discretion. Does God want us to do this? Does He want us to move in this direction? And so we see that this man, he is sensible to his character and his decision making. So a person that is truly happy in Jesus, that is truly blessed, is one whose outlook is established. They're sensible to darkness, but they're sensible to character or sensible to self. Got one more for you, and then we'll be through. Not only an outlook established, but an outcome favored in verse number 6 and 7. The fourth thing on this checklist for a happy life is an outcome favored. Verse number 6 says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. And so this happy woman is an unmovable man or woman. Unmovable. Surely he shall not be moved forever. I think about that song a lot. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. You know what I'm saying? Those trees that are planted deeply and they're rooted. And what's their job? Their job is just to let their leaves blow. Let them leaves just blow in the wind. They're anchored in Jehovah. They're anchored. They got a root system. When we're going to Florida during the summertime, there's a stretch of road where pretty much every year we see it, but there's a bunch of trees that are bent over. They're bent over. And that's from hurricanes and strong winds. They didn't fall over. They didn't break. They were just bent. But they're anchored. They got a root system. And so the same goes for this happy person, this person who has joy and who is abounding in their life. They're unmovable, but also they're remembered. They're remembered. He says in verse number 6, surely he shall not be moved forever. That's why he's happy. It's because he's unmovable. But he's also happy because he knows he'll be remembered. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. What do you want to be remembered for when you die? One who changes direction in your life every time the wind blows, or one who is anchored in Jehovah? Doesn't mean you don't get upset. Doesn't mean that you don't express emotion in a negative way. Doesn't mean you don't feel the winds of life. But it means that you have been unmovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You have stayed the course. You have finished your course. You have fought the faith and finished your course. And so he says here, the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. And so that makes a person happy. It makes them blessed to know that they're going to be remembered for something positive. And so we see that in verse 6. And then lastly, in verse 7, we see this happy person, blessed person, is not afraid, and that's trusting in the Lord. Verse number 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. That doesn't mean that if the phone rings and it's a bad phone call, that the person won't feel their heart skip a beat, so to speak, or flutter for a moment because of the sudden news, or feel those emotions come over them. Yes, we will feel those things, but we do not have to succumb to those things, because when our heart is fixed and we're trusting in the Lord, we will feel things, we will feel emotions, but ultimately we will not be downcast, we will not be downtrodden, we will not be knocked out of the race. We will just not be afraid. We will not be motivated and moved by fear, because we know that the Lord has not given the spirit of fear. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. One of the worst lives to live is a fearful life. John talks about fear has torment, and how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. And fear has torment, and fear is terrible. When it comes to fear, there's anxiety that is wrapped up and correlated with fear. And worry and all of those things. And that's terrible to suffer from fear and anxiety. It's a real thing. Anxiety is a real thing. Like I've said before, I experience anxiety from time to time. I have moments where fears. Have you ever had that moment where a fear would just rush through your mind? Oh my word, what if this happened? I mean, you could just be doing anything, and all of a sudden, wham, just this fear out of nowhere. You're going down. You're going to die. You're going to leave your family behind. What if this happens? What if that happens? You know, those fears may come to my mind, but I don't have to entertain those fears. I could say, you know what? If it happens, God got me. If it happens, then I know that all, like Brother Snyder says, don't you hate it when people quote that verse during those uneasy times of your life? We know that all things work together for good. One day, we may really need that verse. You know what I'm saying? We may really need that verse one day. I mean, we could quote it now. Yeah, true. All things work together for good. But we're saying that when everything's fine. And you really don't want to hear it when everything's not fine, but you will need it when everything is not fine. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. That is a promise. The Lord is a promise keeper. We do not have to live in fear. Do what you have to do not to live in fear. Go to the doctor if you do not, if it means you not living in fear. Get counseling if it means that you will not live in fear. God uses doctors and tools and medication to help us not have to live in fear. There is a whole chemical side to this in our brains. There is serotonin. that can be low in a person's brain. And while others may not be stressing about something, you're wringing your hands, you won't leave the house, you're in fear of your life. It's because of stress and the toll is taken on you. Doctors and prayer and trusting in God's word, all of these things can help a person not live in fear. Fear hath torment tonight. It's not God's will that we live in fear. He says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. This is implying that one time or at some times our hearts can be broken and be susceptible to live in fear, but this person has experienced fear. This person has lived in the torments of fear for too long. This person has dove into God's word and has embraced God's promises that God will provide because they have nothing else to cling to. They have learned that it's not God's will to live in fear. They have embraced God's word. Their heart is fixed. I don't like fearful moments, but the teacher, the lesson, and what we could be taught in fearful moments, you cannot learn by going to school or watching a video. You have to experience it yourself. And the writer says, my heart is fixed. I'm trusting in the Lord. How sweet it is, how truly sweet it is to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. And so, the checklist, it has to do with an outcome that's favored. Talking about a checklist here for a happy life. For a happy life. You'll be unmovable, remembered, not afraid, trusting in the Lord. These are characteristics of a person that is blessed, a person that is truly happy. The Bible says again, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So we have an outcome favored, an outlook established. We have an offering given and an offspring possessed. This is the checklist tonight for a happy life. Again, verse number one, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That's the message tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, God, for all things. Lord, we are in awe of you tonight. Though we may be tired in body and our flesh may fail us, God, we're in awe. We celebrate how awesome you are in your love and your mercy and you're kind and gentle. We celebrate what you do, Lord. You're awesome for what you do. You save the lost. You bless the saved. God, help us tonight to just check some of these things off of our list. Just trust in you, oh God, and receive a happy heart in doing so. Fix our hearts if our hearts are broken, and just truly help us trust in you, Father. We love you tonight, and we praise you for the life that you do give, eternal life, and life that is filled with joy and happiness on earth in you. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen. All right. All hearts clear before we go? Everybody good? All right. Well, thank you for listening. Everybody have a great night. Be safe, be careful, and let's just be prayerful about Sunday that the Lord will save someone and that he will encourage us that are here. All right, you're dismissed. Thank you.